fascinating to me. I didn't understand it, but it was wonderful. At that time, in Havre de Grace, we did not have cement boardwalks. We had boardwalks made out of board. And in our town, there was, where Huber's is now, H-U-B-E-R-S, was a weaving mill. And people by the name of Gambrels owned that weaving mill. They were affluent. We were on the other side of the track. But that didn't bother me when I was young. I didn't know that we didn't have a lot of money. There was a lot of love in my family, and that's all that mattered. Let me see.
How about socially? Did you have kinds of dances and things like that as you got older in the town? Did they do a lot of that?
The entertainment when I was very young was going uptown for ice cream on Saturday night. There was an ice cream store owned by Mr. Courtney, and people would go in there every Saturday night and eat ice cream. And that ice cream was so rich that the cream stuck to the roof of your mouth. It was delicious. Most of the food, ice, and ice cream was delivered by horse and buggy. My dad at that time worked for a Jewish family who owned a jewelry store by the name of Davis. And Daddy would hook up old Rose, a horse and buggy, and go out in the county. Mr. Davis sold pianos and organs, and that's where Daddy got his first money to take care of us. But getting back to the coal that heated our houses, many men went out on the tracks where these cars would go by and coal would bounce out on the ground around the tracks, and they would go pick up that coal and bring it home.
How about the ice? Where did you get your ice from? Do you remember?
From a wagon. That was quite a thing. We would wait for that because the guy that would serve it would give us little pieces of ice. That was fun.
Was it made locally? You know, did it come?
I think they had ice houses down near the water.
Okay.
That was kept solid by straw. I can't imagine it, but it was. Hmm. The blocks of ice.
Get from melting, I guess.
Yeah.
In your childhood, as you see children of today, what do you see as the biggest difference?
Well, of course, if you would compare my childhood with what I see today, the affluence astounds me. And maybe that's good. I'm not sure, but I think mostly our youth today are subjected to a lot of things that we were not, and I mean detrimentally. And I can't help but say I went along with my peers, and they go along with their peers, good or bad.
Where did you go to school?
Havre de Grace.
Can you describe a little bit what school was like for you?
I was scared. I was scared of my teacher. And my mother sent me to school when I was 5 years old just to get me out of the house. I was setting her crazy. I wanted to get into everything. So she sent me to school when I was 5, and I can remember going to school one day, and it had not rained for a long time, and there were like cracks in the ground. And the girl that I was with was much older than I, and she said, "Carrie, look down." She said, "The world's coming to an end." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "Because those cracks are there." And I went home because I wanted to see my mother for the last time. And I went home and I said, "We're going to have an earthquake." She grabbed me up in her arms and said, no, that's not going to happen. I never will forget that.
Did you, what kind of books did you have? Did you have a lot of books or not too many? Or
I really wasn't subjected to a lot of, I wasn't very smart in school. And I just got through my lessons and that was it. The thing that interested me most was being in the show, because my uncle had married, my aunt had married a man who owned the movies in Haverty Grace, Silent at that time. And I was just old enough that I could play the pianola while the movies were going on. And that's when I decided I'm going to be an actress. So school was not, the only thing that I loved about school was when the next play was going to be, because I wanted to be in that play.
Wait, where was your school located?
On Congress Avenue.
Okay.
Where it is now. Yes.
Right. And at that time, was it all grades, or was it like...
It was up to the 11th.
11th grade.
I didn't go beyond that.
And the reason was because you didn't have to go but 11 grades to graduate?
That's
that
it. Okay. And there were 25, I graduated in 1925 and there were 25 people in my class. 25 people.
Isn't that something?
I think they're all dead by this
time. You had said something about some of the social activities. Did you have a movie theater here where you got a chance?
Yes, it was on Front, what we call Front Street, which is Washington Street.
Okay.
There were two movies there, movie houses, and my uncle owned one. And as far as entertainment was concerned, there wasn't that much here, except that on occasion, there would be a company that would come in and put on a show. And I guess they gave to the school part of the money that mm-hmm. they gained by that. And I'll never forget, there was one girl who was playing the main role, and I prayed that she would get sick, because the guy told me if anything happened to her, then I would take her place. Wasn't that awful? She never got sick, and I played a second-hand role. I didn't like that.
Did you ever get a chance to play the piano for one of the silent movies that you were hoping to?
No, it was just that pianola, we called them then.
Uh-huh.
And you pumped it.
Okay.
And my cousin and I would do this, over and over you see the same picture and say, here comes a sad scene, let's get this out.
Okay.
You know, or here comes, we try to coordinate uh-huh. the scenes with the music.
Okay. Were Saturdays the big days for the movies, or if you did anything socially, would it be Saturdays?
Yeah, I would say Saturdays.
Yeah.
People are off from work. But that was mainly the Saturday night, and your ice cream was, that was big.
That's good. Have you seen the roads? You were mentioning, you know, people traveling and so forth. When you were growing up, how were they traveling, basically?
Horse and buggy.
And of course, over time, as the automobile comes along, what happens?
Over time, the people who owned the weaving mill were about the first ones that had an automobile.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an automobile that was open, and the women wore the linen coats and the hats. And I just stood by and I said, someday I'm going to do that.
And sure enough, you did. Do you remember when they were constructing Route 40?
Yes, I do remember that.
Did that have any impact, do you think, on the Haverty Grace?
I don't think we minded that that much. We tolerated that pretty well.
How about steamboats? I know steamboats used to run from Havre Grace to Baltimore.
Oh, yes. When I was young, my mother would never let me go on the steamboat because she thought I would go on the top deck, and that was where love was made. Yes, I remember that very well.
Did you ever get a ride on one of those steamboats?
Yes, I did.
And what did you see when you got on that boat?
Well, the beautiful river. I think we went down to Tilechester.
And was it, did people from Baltimore come out or pretty much?
You saw a lot of people getting off and on the boat from Baltimore. Yes, that was a big thing in those days.
How about, I know you're too young for this, but maybe your parents, maybe your parents told you about it, the Susquehanna and Tidewater Canal. Did they ever, or did you ever hear anyone locally talk about the canal?
The only exposure I had was since we have the place up here.
The lockhouse.
The lockhouse.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather's picture was in the lockhouse for quite a while. He was a steamboat captain.
Mm-hmm.
Had a long beard. I never knew him. He died before I was born. And I used to hear my dad talk about it. But my grandfather, Wysong Saunders, had a store here in Havre Grace, and he, what they call, grubbed the fishermen. He would see that they had sufficient food for the time that they were going to be on this fishing trip. His name was Wysong Saunders.
The Concord Point Lighthouse, when it was in existence, still there, but as far as being used, do you recall any stories about that? Did you ever go down there in the evenings when...
I hate to say it, but I have never been up in our lighthouse. I've always admired it, but... No, when the light was on, is it still on? I'm not sure.
I don't believe it's lit anymore.
Mm-hmm. But it was on. Of course, that was a guiding light coming home.
Right.
And we always watched for that when we came up after having been out fishing all day.
How about the double-decker bridge that used to operate here in Havre Grace? Do you recall that?
Yes.
Can you describe that? Because probably a lot of folks don't know what we're talking about.
In what way would I do? I'm not very mechanical. When you went to, on the bridge from Havre Grace to Cecil County, you would go to the right and over the bridge, but coming back on the top, coming home would be where you would go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know too much about the building of it or whatever, but I do remember a restaurant that was right after you got off of the bridge. It was one of the most famous restaurants in Havre Grace for seafood. It was called Kelly's Restaurant. And that was one of the most famous seafood places, I believe, on this coast. And a lot of people went there. But it was right after you got off of the bridge on Union Avenue.
Do you remember when the bridge stopped operating, approximately?
No, but that was in an article not too long ago. I didn't pay too much attention to it, but...
It's been gone for quite a long time, though, right?
Time.
Probably 40, 50
a
years.
Long time.
Yeah.
And speaking of the river, my mother was always very cautious. She thought I was going to go through the ice as far as skating. And a lot of people from Havre Grace went right down where the yacht basin is now and skated. She thought I was going to fall through. But I did. My girlfriend and I skated from Havre Grace to Perryville on the ice. And that was a dumb thing to do. And when my mother found out about it, she threw up her hands. And she thought, oh, it was, and you know when you're on ice like that, it goes kind of like this in spots.
Mm-hmm.
It was dangerous, really. But that was, people went down to the park here and skated all the time.
Did you swim in the river too?
No, my mother would never allow me. It was too contaminated for dear little Carrie.
Yeah, how about some of your friends? Would they have been tempted to go down there?
And they had bathhouses down there at one time. But my mother held me back. I guess it was because I was her only child. My dad was married 3 times. And I was her only child. I guess she thought she was afraid she was going to lose me, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the river, do you recall any times when that was completely frozen over?
Oh, yes. Actually, when I was young, the river froze over for most of the winter. That's why people could go down there and skate. I can remember, you don't have to put this on there. In the first house that I lived in, I was born in, the parlor was closed off and only used for weddings and funerals. And I can remember how cold it was in there. And I would go in as a little girl and see the hoarfrost on the windows with the different designs, you know, and it was fascinating to me. But it was so cold in there. That was not heated except in weddings and funerals.
How about floods? What was the river? You may recall any flooding in the river?
I think there was some, but there wasn't that much that I recall.
It really stood out in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fishing's always
been... Am I talking too much?
Not at all. Not at all. Fishing, of course, has always been important in Havre Grace, and I know you've been a fisher person. Can you describe a little bit about the commercial fishing that existed here? How they used to catch them and all?
How they used to catch them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing that I observed, that these fishermen would go down the bay and stay for hours and maybe days until they got a lot. And in those days there was a lot. And that's about all that I can remember is fishing. I can tell you the story of how I started. Of course the pollution now has eliminated a lot. But I can remember when you could go down to the yacht basin, get on the boat, and from there to the island, you could catch rock, big rock. And the first time I ever got the bug was I was trolling, and my husband, I said to my husband, I'm hooked on a rock. And he said, let me feel. He said, yes, you are hooked on a real rock. I said, no kidding. And he said, yes, and I pulled up this rock. It was beautiful. I went right down over it and caught another one. And it was just like injecting me with a needle because I wanted to fish all the time.
Do you ever recall seeing any, I think they used to call them floats? Do you ever see any one where they tied logs together and they actually caught the fish and the nets and brought them on these floats?
Never saw
those?
That.
Okay.
Never saw that.
That's all right. You mentioned rockfish was a popular fish around here. Was there any others that you saw?
That well, perch, too. A lot of big perch and rock. Of course, the crabs, you know, were plentiful. But pollution has eliminated a lot of that. That's a very sad part of the Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
It's pollution, and we did it. We people are doing it.
Did you notice any difference in fishing or anything when the dam was finished in 1928? Did that do anything to that you noticed down here in Havre Grace to the fresh water flow or anything?
No,
nothing that you
nothing
saw?
Nothing that I saw.
Okay. How about duck hunting? Do you recall the days when Hatter Grace was big in duck hunting?
It was very common to have duck on the table, believe me. And the canvas back was the ultimate in taste. And as I told you, Babe Ruth used to come here and he had someone take him out for duck hunting. And when I saw him in New York at the Waldorf Astoria, I did go over and ask him for his signature. And he very politely got up and said, "Oh yes, I'd be glad to give you my signature." And that's when I gave it to the Babe Ruth Museum.
How old were you when that occurred?
I was 42.
And you were in New York and he was eating at a hotel?
Yes, we were having dinner at the Waldorf Astoria that night, and he was with a bunch of men, and he was very gracious. And I had that in the drawer here for a long time. I thought, why am I keeping this? And so that's when the mayor of Hatter Grace took my picture, and he gave that to me the night of the ceremony, the picture of that he had taken at that ceremony.
How would you describe Babe Ruth at that time? I mean, was he...
He was with a bunch of men, and having a few drinks, which he did have a few drinks. He was not a real tall man, but rather robust. But at that time, the Waldorf Astoria had a policy that you were not to table hop. And I think it was because there were a lot of maybe military people coming in. And remember, this is the beginning of the war. And they may have had some difficulty that way. But after a couple of wines, I got real brave. But he was very gracious.
Did you recall anything else about the duck hunting days here in Hatter Grace?
Well, I can remember when my dad would go out, my husband would go out, and always come back with ducks. Now, when I was young, it was very common to have a canvas back on the table, mm-hmm. and it was delicious. Mm-hmm.
Are you interested in the decoy carving yourself, or have you ever done any decoy carving?
I would be the dumbest person to carve anything, but maybe eat a pork chop.
How about your husband? Did he collect decoys, or did he use decoys when he was out hunting?
See that decoy, that one over to the left?
Looks like a Madison Mitchell, is it?
It certainly is.
It's a Madison Mitchell decoy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. My husband was an outdoors person, and he always went hunting. And he had his decoys and his equipment and everything, and he went gunning. Yes.
Well, it's amazing how much decoy carving has become so popular.
Oh, yes, and beautiful.
Beautiful
just
things.
Beautiful things.
Right. Why do you think people are so interested in decoys today? Do you think is it just the art itself, or do you think there's so many great decoy carvers in the Hatter Grace area?
I think there's a lot of money in it to begin with. I think it's a wonderful art. I think it's beautiful. I think there are people who are faking it, and I for one would not know the difference myself, and I think you would have to be very artistic about this in order to recognize the difference. But I've seen some beautiful work.
Well, changing the topic a little bit, when the Great Depression occurred in this country, what are your recollections of it here in Hatter Grace? How did Hatter Grace fare through that time?
I was married at that time, and my husband was working for his father up in Elkton, who had a weaving mill. And we didn't have much money. And I can remember getting a half a ham That thing lasted all week. The depression. Well, I guess when you're young, you don't mind it that much. We had plenty to eat. You know, when you're working, you're not going hither and yon. I'm sure a lot of people suffered through this. I had a woman working for me at the time, and I wanted to know that she had enough to eat. That was old Maggie. I wanted to know that.
I know one of the places of interest in Havre Grace used to be the Havre Grace racetrack. Did you ever go there and recall anything about it?
Yes, indeed.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I can tell you, when I was very young, people from New York would come down on the train, and I would, if I saw this at all, and if I did, it would be with my brother, who was there selling sandwiches that my mother made, and a lot of people in Havre Grace did that. She made sandwiches, sent us out to sell sandwiches. I saw these beautiful women in beautiful clothes, and I said, I'm going to look like that someday. Yes, I remember it very, very well. And then later on, in the 40s, I used to go and play them.
Do you remember when the track actually stopped?
Stopped? Oh, I'm not so sure, but I think it's probably 55, around there.
Okay, so it's been gone for quite a long time.
Yeah.
What is in its place today? What is where it was located?
National Guard is in the place now. But I can remember one day being out there before any race was run, and there was a little rabbit that came out on the track and was running up and down, and everybody clapped.
How many people would you say, and it would be just a guess, but how many people would you say would probably turn out for the races at a time?
You mean what the population out there would
be? Yeah, what do you think? How many people?
Thousands.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. It was always loaded.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes, it was beautiful.
Did you ever, when the racing season was going on, did you see a lot of $2 bills in town?
I never observed that.
Yeah.
That's a thought.
Yeah.
I never observed that.
I know in the Bel Air area racetrack, when it was in existence, there'd be an influx of $2 bills. You wouldn't see them much of the year, but around race time, there always seemed to be. What changes would you like to see in Havre Grace and Harford County for the future?
That's a big one. What changes? We've had a lot of changes here in Havre Grace. People have upgraded their homes. We have the promenade. I think it's a beautiful place. Of course, I'm partial because I've always lived here. As far as changes are concerned, Union Avenue is not like it used to be. And because commercial and doctors have moved in, but it used to be beautiful homes and lime trees, and it was beautiful. What would I like to see? I do think that the youth of our town, it has not the any place to go to. Of course, there's schools, but there should be something for the youth in Havre Grace. As far as recreation is concerned. And I was so hoping that the old post office would turn into that place. Instead, it turned into a doctor's office, which chagrined me very much. I did not like that. I voted against it, and it's a shame because I think maybe there are reasons that I do not know. But I think the youth in our town could use a facility like that.
Which again is another difference. When you grew up, you didn't have time to worry about things like that, did you?
Not at all. We made our own fun.
And I'm sure you had lots of chores and lots of things you had
yes,
to do.
Yes, that's right. My mother, as I told you, I went to school and I was fired to get rid of her because I wanted to do something all the time. I was setting her crazy.
When you were presented with the Harford County Living Treasure Proclamation, you told a story that I think you should put on tape for us about the lady.
Oh, yes. Well, there is a woman in Haverty Grace by the name of Margaret Jones. She's 101 years old. And when contacted and asking her whom she worked for last, she said, "I worked for a lady by the name of Mrs. Ralph Lawrence, but I think she must be dead by this time."
And of course, that's you.
Yeah, right, that's me. And so, speaking of health, when she worked for me, she had high blood pressure. And I said, "Maggie," I said, "keep on that medication." She said, "I gotta let it go, Mrs. Lawrence. I feel so bad. Go back to your doctor, he'll change it." And so she went off of it. She's 101. And so when I was visiting her, I said, "Maggie, do you still go to the doctors?" And she said, "Well, I tell you, Mrs. Lawrence, I gave up doctors and medicine a long time ago." So I told the audience that night, I said, "Maggie Jones is my mentor."
That's a good story. What important things have we left out that would be very interesting for us to know about?
Okay. Mm-hmm. My boy was born in Harford Memorial Hospital. It was then a home owned by someone, I cannot recall the name, but it was converted into Harford Memorial Hospital. My boy was born in that hospital, and that is when they did not have any prenatal place, or not prenatal, that isn't it. You bore your child in the room. And I can remember the nurses' uniforms. They were so beautiful, white and starched, with their hats and immaculate. But having the boy in the room, that is what you did. Now, they tell me that my husband was outside of the room, and they tell me that he was more afraid of this than I was, because they said he was reading the paper upside down. But anyway, now today I guess they get these people out in about a day and a half or something like that, but I was in the hospital for a whole week. And I think the bill might have been, I don't know, but it was a little bit over $100 for the whole week. So that's how different finances were at that time. But I can say that I got good treatment, but it certainly was antiquated as compared to today.
What do you recall about the nurses and the doctors at that time?
Wonderful. Seemed to take an interest in you, and the doctor had come the next day and examined and to be sure that everything was okay. It was wonderful attention, really was.
What occupation? I know you worked for a lot of years. What was your occupation?
I worked at Aberdeen Proving Ground. I graduated on Friday and went to work Monday. I don't know why I did that, but I did. And I started out as a secretary and finally ended up in the controller's office as an administrative assistant. and I retired in 62.
Do you recall what year you actually started?
1925. 25,
so.
Same year I graduated from high school. And the salary was $1,240 a year, and that was big money.
The proving ground, I guess, changed quite a bit in the time that you were there, too, didn't it?
Oh, yes.
You notice anything in particular that stood out?
Well, of course, as far as being a secretary is concerned, now they have things, I don't know what you call them, but you talk into a machine. I can remember the first time I took a letter from a colonel who was very austere, and I was scared to death, and I was almost trembling, but I got through it somehow. He approved of what I did, but I tell you what I can remember. The West Point cadets used to come each year at the proving ground, and they were shown around. That was every year. But in the evening, they had a dance, and the girls would go to that dance. And, oh, I had the most beautiful gown. I thought, oh, this is going to be wonderful. I was so excited that I put oil on the part of my typewriter where the paper goes. I thought, what am I doing? Oh yeah, I'm thinking about that dance tonight. And you know, the cadets were in uniform and they had these great big brass buttons. And when you dance with a guy, these buttons were pushing up on your but you were not allowed to go off of the floor because those cadets were ready. I guess that's what you would call it. But anyway, the highlight of the whole evening was I was working for a colonel by the name of Colonel Schinkel, and I loved him and he loved me. And I was dancing with one of the cadets, and he came up and said to the cadet, "Sir," now he's a colonel, "Sir, could I dance with the prettiest girl here tonight?" And he wished me around. One of the highlights in my life as far as Aberdeen Proving Ground
is concerned. That's wonderful. That is wonderful.
I don't want you to take this, but... You want that?
We'd love to hear a little bit of background of your father.
My dad was married three times. His first wife developed diabetes, and in those days it was impossible to take care of a diabetic person. They did not have the medication. They did not have what they have today. He had one daughter by that first wife. He was married the second time by a girl by the name of Eula Hayworth. And if you've seen Hayworth furniture from South Carolina, she was part of that family, and that goes way, way back. She was here with the Salvation Army, a beautiful, beautiful woman. And so Daddy married Eula Hayworth. And she developed cancer of the brain. And it was the first cancer, brain cancer situation in Hopkins, I believe it was. And Daddy would go down every night on the train to see her, and all they did was drain the head. They did not have medication or anything to take care of it. Out of that marriage came a daughter and a son, Roswell Poplar and Eula Poplar. So after she passed away, Daddy here in town was courting my mother, a red-headed beautiful lady. Now here's my mother. He asked her to marry him. What, with three children? Well, they did. They married. And so my mother always told me if she was going to take care of three that didn't belong to her, she was going to have one of her own. So that then I popped on the scene. But Daddy only went to about the fourth grade in school. But he was a very outgoing man and related to people very well. And so he made a good salesman. But I'll never forget the story he told us about, am I boring you?
No.
About, he was out through the county and he came to this woman's house who had a little girl. And he was trying to sell her an organ. And he said, you know, I don't know her name, but he said, well, we'll say Jones. Mrs. Jones, he said, now, he said, I see fingerprints on that table. Now, he said, if something happened to your child, now how would you feel? Because this little girl is pretending to play the organ. She said, Mr. Poplar, bring that organ Monday.
He's a good salesman.
Yes, he was. And he got to be the man who headed up Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, liked my father very much. I think he recognized the fact that he related to people very well, so we hired him. That's when we went from Bourbon Street to Fountain Street, where you could punch a button and the lights would come on. We thought we were in heaven.
Well, when you weren't light before that time, what did you do?
Huh?
When you didn't have electricity.
They were oil lamps.
Sweet.
They had to be cleaned every day. Of course, I was too young to even know, you know.
Took a lot of care.
But I can remember, we used to play on the school ground, and I can remember, you know, there are certain feelings that you have when you're very young. And I can remember it would be winter, and I would be playing on that school ground, and I would begin to smell the odor of food coming out of that row house. And it reminded me that when I got home, I was going to have food and the love of my parents, and I didn't care if I was poor. I remember that sensation so well.
Well, Mrs. Lawrence, thank you so much. This concludes our interview with Mrs. Carrie Lawrence, a lady whose recollections of the past give us a great deal of insight into Harford County today. Thank you.